wonderful music that was just played. That was beautiful. Today we're reading from 2 Corinthians again. We're in chapter 4. We're going to start at verse 16. If you want to open that up and take a look at that. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. We're so grateful to have the Word of God. It lasts forever, which will be addressed in this scripture. And I pray that as we go on this week, that some of the scripture just returns to us and is forever this week. Let's stand and read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day to day. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank you, Lord. Let's be seated.
Yeah, thank you, Bruce. That's a wonderful passage that you just read to us, and we appreciate you doing that. Now, Thomas Edison was one of the greatest inventors, obviously, of all time, and part of that was just his perspective on things, his perspective on life. One time he had done an experiment trying to invent something, and he had done so for 10,000 times and had not figured out how to do it yet. And he said, well, I've successfully found 10,000 ways that have not worked. What a great perspective. Kept him digging, kept him researching. Another time, the area, the laboratory, which was a very large laboratory, caught on fire and was burning down. And he called out to his son. He said, Charles, come here. You'll never see anything like this again in your life. And then a few moments later, he called over his wife, and the three of them were gazing at the inferno. And he said, well, all of our mistakes are gone now. Now we can start afresh. 2 weeks later, they started to rebuild the laboratory, and shortly thereafter, he invented the phonograph. Perspective in life is so critical, is it not? Particularly when we face things that are not exactly what we would have chosen to face. How can we run the race of life and run it more successfully as a Christian by having the proper perspective? What are some things that we can do that will help us to persevere gracefully when things happen that perhaps we would not choose to happen to us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, we see three key perspectives of life that will help us to persevere gracefully and not lose heart. And I invite you to open your Bibles to an important passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Let's look at the first key perspective that really does make a difference. And these things really do make a difference. How we think makes a difference, does it not? That's what we're talking about. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Number one, the first key perspective. What is on the inside is what really counts. What's on the inside really counts. 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. We don't give up. We persevere. We hang in there despite the incredible pressures and discouragements of life. And Paul had just described some of them earlier there, a few verses earlier in chapter 4. Hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken, and so forth. Despite that, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. even though our outward man is perishing. All of us are familiar with an outward man that is perishing. Our body is slowly winding down, decaying, not what it once was. And for Paul, there was a couple of reasons that his body was wearing out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and I invite you to turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is a remarkable list here of things that Paul went through. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And here's some evidence. In labors, I'm more abundant than those false teachers. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. I almost died a number of times as a servant of Jesus. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. Can you imagine being whipped 39 times? Paul went through that 5 different occasions. 3 times I was beaten with rods. So easy to read these words, isn't it? Without feeling his pain. Once I was stoned almost to death. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen. In perils of the Gentiles. In perils in the city. In perils in the wilderness. In perils in the sea. In perils among false brethren. In weariness and toil. And sleeplessness often. Isn't it awful if we get a bad night's sleep? That was common for Paul. In hunger and in thirst. In fastings often. In cold and in nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches, which weighed heavily down on his spirit. Part of the reason that Paul was going downhill, he was wearing out physically, was because of some of the things that he went through. He aged more rapidly than your average person because of the trials and the heartaches that he experienced. And he also wore down physically because he was getting older. He experienced some aging prematurely because of the suffering that contributed to his aging. But he was also getting older. In the book of Philemon, he refers to himself as Paul the Aged. And so his outward man was perishing. It was wearing out his body, his bones. But that's not the main issue, Paul says. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The spirit, the soulish realm, it's doing a whole lot better in my body. It's being renewed, reinvigorated, made new day after day and week after week and month after month. And that makes all the difference. And it enables me to hang in there during the sufferings and during the aging process and the wearing down of my body. It's what's on the inside that really counts. What happens on the inside that we are made new as children of God, as followers of Jesus, day by day? Well, let's turn to a few passages. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 13. The church at Ephesus was discouraged because Paul, the great apostle, was suffering. He was in prison. And if that could happen to Paul, my goodness, is Jesus still on the throne? That's where they're at. Ephesians 3:13, therefore I ask that you do not lose heart. Same phrase as our text. Don't be discouraged at my tribulations, which are for you, which is also for your glory. And because of that, I'm going to pray for you. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family on heaven and earth is named. And this is how I pray for you, because you're losing heart. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you might be strengthened with might through the Holy Spirit in your inner man. Whenever we pray for somebody who's losing heart, who's discouraged, who's having difficulty hanging in there, when we pray that the Spirit of God would strengthen their inner man is strengthened. It's made new. It's made strong. So that the outward circumstances of life as they press in don't crush the spirit. And so we pray for people, and the Spirit of God strengthens their inner man. They are renewed by that. In Psalm 51, verse 10, David is suffering adultery. He's committed adultery. He's murdered to cover it up. His insides are breaking. And he says to God, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51:10. When we pray for ourselves, the Spirit of God reinvigorates and renews us. When somebody else prays for us, the Spirit of God reinvigorates and renews us. When we pray for ourselves, the Spirit of God reinvigorates and renews us. In Isaiah chapter 40, that classic Old Testament passage, and you know, it's interesting, whenever people are asked what their favorite verses, say after they graduate from high school, from a Christian school, wherever, one of the verses we're about to read, I think, is the one that's named more than any other one as people's favorite verse. Isaiah chapter 40, and for good reason. Verse 29, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. Yeah, young people get tired too. And the young men shall utterly fall. But here's the verse people love to say is their favorite. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Their strength will be made new. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So it doesn't matter how old you are. The Spirit of God is able to reinvigorate, to strengthen our insides so that we can handle what's going on around us. It's what's on the inside that really, really counts. I remember a few years back, I was jogging. And as I was jogging, all of a sudden, one of my calf muscles just started tightening up and was in pain. I could hardly walk. And I'm thinking to myself, this should not happen to a young stud like me. And then it dawned on me, maybe I'm not a young stud anymore. Right? Don't say right. Who said right? Yeah, it just kind of creeps up on you. And you see this principle in action when someone has had an operation, visit them in the hospital. Somebody's out of the hospital and they're in their home and they're still recovering, but they're doing great. They're doing great. And here's the principle. If we are doing well physically, but we're not doing well spiritually, we're not doing well. If we're not doing well physically, but we're doing well spiritually, we are doing well. It's what's on the inside that counts. I see it time and time again. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 14 says it so well. The spirit of a man will sustain him in his sickness. The spirit of a man will sustain him in his sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Our insides will help us to hang in there and persevere gracefully if our outsides are hurting. But if our insides are hurting, the outsides aren't going to help. Proverbs 18:14. So the first principle of life that helps us to hang in there, to persevere, to not lose heart, to gracefully handle the difficulties of life, it's the inside that really counts. Number two, second perspective. It's the judgment seat of Christ that really counts. It's the judgment seat of Christ that really counts. Verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Let's stop right there. We read the text, did we not, in 2 Corinthians 11. Most of us would not call that and vote and say, Paul, that is light affliction. But compared to something else, it is light. What we've been through and what all of us go through from a trial standpoint is light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. What we go through is not only light, it's not lasting. It's but for a moment. If we have a trial, and whatever it might be, let's say, I got a lousy teacher. Well, it's hang in with her for 9 months. Or it's a trial that lasts 8 or 9 years. Compared to eternity, not long. This marriage is just really, really hard. It's been 40 years. Don't worry, you're almost done. Eternity compared to 40 years, nothing. That's what Paul's saying. Whatever we go through, it's light compared to something that we're going to look at. And it doesn't last. Our trials. It's what they produce in the future that he's comparing the trials to. These trials are working for us a far more exceeding, a greater, and an eternal weight of glory. Isn't that great? So going through the trial and trusting the Lord and having a good perspective and having a good attitude, it's all worth it because the eternal reward is, first of all, is forever. It'll last forever, and it's heavier. It's greater than the trial that we're going through. It's more magnificent. The glory and the honor that we will see receive will last forever. And that will come about at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at a few verses to kind of hammer that home. Romans chapter 8. Perspective is everything, right? I mean, how we think about things. What do they call it now? The spin we put on things. Right? Romans chapter 8, verse 18. For I consider, this is how I think about it, Paul says, that the sufferings of the present time, the sufferings that I'm going through, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. The sufferings are small compared to the incredible glory, the eternal rewards, number one, and number two, how brightly we will shine to magnify the glory of God forever. Those are the two things. The number of jewels in our crown and how brightly we shine to manifest the glory of God forever. It makes what we're going through, comparatively speaking, to be light and certainly not lasting. Matthew chapter 5. Another thing to help gain perspective during the difficulties of life and what they produce as we trust the Lord and we look at the judgment seat of Christ of Matthew 5:12. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad when you go through that, for great is your reward in heaven. And so persecuted the prophets who were before you. One of the reasons that, you know, persecution, Paul says, is not as bad as you think it is because of the incredible rewards that it will produce when we hang in there gracefully for Jesus. Jesus himself looked at the future reward as he was hanging on the cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, that helped him to endure the cross, even though he despised the shame. He looked at the joy that was set before him. This affliction, it's awful, but it's momentary, and it's not as great as the joy I'm going to have for eternity with my Father. The judgment seat of Christ is what really counts as we go through life. When our daughter got married, as many of you know, right here. would have been May 26th, Memorial Day weekend. On May 25th that afternoon, it was really warm. I guess a lot of people in our area were using their air conditioner. And the power went out in our house and in houses in the area. Well, the power went out. We had no access to running water because the power went out. And one of our three sons was looking to get ready for the wedding rehearsal, and he wanted to wash his face. And he was in the upstairs bath, one of the upstairs bathrooms, and he got the faucet and he pulled it up, but no water came up. So he just kept on pulling up, up and down, up and down, up and down. Come on, water, come on, come on. And his last motion was up. And then we went to the wedding rehearsal and then the wedding dinner. And in the meantime, the power came on and the water started to apparently run very fast because it was all the way on. And it started to overflow the sink and ran down the floor in the hallway and made its way down to the main floor and then made its way down to the basement. And surprise, we came home 3 hours later. Well, to make a long story long, the number one focus had to be the wedding day. This did not happen. At least for now, it did not happen. I'm the father of the bride and the officiating pastor for about two-thirds of the ceremony. So I need to focus on that. And then the next day is a Sunday, and I'm sort of busy on Sundays. I focused on that. Memorial Day, we'll start to focus on this. So that was the first challenge, and everybody, of course, in the family had part in the wedding, so that was a challenge for them as well. Well, that Tuesday, the construction company comes out, and they start doing things. Three large dehumidifiers, one on each floor. 12 to 15 fans on top of carpets, underneath carpets. It was like a landmine as you tried to walk through the thing, you know. And they bore 100, this is what they told me, 120 holes in our house so that there would be air flowing to get the water out. I like to show you there was two big holes that they made. One in the ceiling of the kitchen and one in the living room. I've got a picture here. Maggie, maybe? That's the hole in our living room ceiling. That's what it was like. They fixed that recently. But then, you know, okay, they got everything. You're not going to have any mold problem. That was wonderful. And then a few dozen conversations with insurance people and emails and with the construction company. And then you get on a waiting list. And on August 13th, they decided we're ready to go to renovate things. Well, I didn't realize that when they started to renovate things, the disruptions actually got worse. I didn't know that. But that's what happens. And they're still working on things. Our carpet's on back order. But here's a couple pictures of what it looks like now. Maggie, those are books that usually are on a bookshelf. Those are on the windowsill of our bay window. Because if they went back in the bookshelves, then when they laid the carpet, we'd have to take all those books out and put them somewhere and then put them back in the bookshelf. So we're just leaving them there so the whole world can see. Here's the dining room. If it looks like nothing, it's because it's a whole bunch of nothing on top of the couch. That's the couch. You can just see the ends of that couch. That's where I used to have my quiet time with the Lord and my favorite couch to nap on Sunday afternoons. There it is. If you can't see it, I can hardly see it from here either. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining. I just want to illustrate something. Here's the point. Things happen in life. And sometimes they happen when we would choose for them not to happen. Things happen in life. They happen sometimes when we would choose for them not to happen. And at the judgment seat of Christ, when we're going to be rewarded, I think what happens to us is not going to be that important, the things that happen to us. But how we respond to the things that happen to us, they're really important. How we trust the Lord in those circumstances, how we relate to people in those circumstances, those things are important, like, for eternal rewards. So what's going on the inside? That's what really, really counts. The judgment seat of Christ, not so much what happens to us, but how we respond to what happens to us, that really counts. Number three, a third perspective. The things that we can't see, that's what really counts. Not the things that we can see. What we can't see are the things that really count and matter. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, things that are going on and happening around us, Paul says, that's not my primary focus. But at the things which are not seen, invisible things, spiritual realities, the unseen spiritual realities are significantly more important than the things that are seen and our physical realities around us. Physical realities tend to distract us from the spiritual realities that really count. Does that make sense? They tend to distract us. They tend to be things that we trip over. It's the spiritual realities, things that we can't see, that really, really count. For the things which are seen, things that you saw up there, they're temporary. We're going to have a beautiful kitchen and beautiful carpeting in the living room and the dining room. It's all temporary. The things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen, eternal rewards, glorifying God forever, by manifesting His glory as we shine brightly for Him, they're eternal. And you see this manifested in Bible characters and in real life over and over and over again. Where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. In Hebrews chapter 11, somebody who really got it. Well, I guess pretty much everybody in Hebrews chapter 11 really got it, right? But let's look at one character, just one. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, by faith. And the only way he could have done this was by faith in invisible things. Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Could you imagine being Pharaoh's grandson? I'm a granddaddy. You kind of like those little grandkids, don't you? By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Instead, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Most people would say that was foolish. You had it made, Moses. Then to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He had it made for a short season, if he would have been the Pharaoh's grandson. Instead, he esteemed the reproach of Christ being disgraced for Christ's sake. He esteemed that greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Why? He looked to the reward, the eternal reward. By faith, he forsook, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, but he endured as seeing him who is invisible. when we see God and we see the promises of God and we see the future that will be ours if we please and trust and obey God, oh, we are having the right perspective. We're having the right perspective. In Matthew chapter 6, and that really does help. It really does help. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, our Lord is speaking again in the Sermon on the Mount. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Men will say, I can't believe how wonderfully spiritual you are. That's their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So if you really want rewards, please the one who can reward you eternally, please the one who is unseen. And there's just so many decisions in life where it's like, okay, which choice am I going to make? Am I going to try to please the one who is seen, or am I going to try to please the one who's unseen? Am I going to do this for temporary reward, or am I going to do this for eternal reward? And it really makes all the difference. It helps us to hang in there and not lose heart and not give up because we're trying to please the one who's unseen. Who's unseen. Well, life can throw us some curveballs, can't it? Things can happen that we wouldn't choose to happen. And yes, we want to persevere. We want to not lose heart. But we want to try to do it gracefully too, right? It's on the inside that counts. The judgment seat of Christ really counts. Things and the one who is unseen, that's what really counts. Amen? Amen. And we will never be sorry. We will never be sorry. We will never regret focusing on the unseen things. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful that you've given us a blueprint to help us to keep our head in the game, so to speak, to help us to not lose heart, to help us to see the broad eternal picture, to help us not to have our boats sunk by something that's temporary, as difficult as it may be, as hard as it may be. There are other things that are more important. Help us, Lord, to have perspectives that will enable us not to be distracted, not to be discouraged to the point of giving up, and to be able to do things gracefully in a way that points other people to you. We ask through Christ our Lord. Amen.